Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think one of the most moving experiences for me on this whole trip was getting to know each and every one of the individuals that were on the trip. And each and every one of us has a uniqueness, there's no doubt about it. And when you spend that much time with each other, you realize that. But that uniqueness can be an extreme blessing. And so I thought that was kind of awesome. I thought about it a little bit last night when I left this church. I gave Marcus and Jared a hug. I don't think I've ever hugged them. And so if that was enough, that's enough. But it just really is just kind of an awesome time to get to know each other. And you got many hours to speak. And if anybody ever wants to travel, take Melody Simula with you. Because she will talk to you and she'll ask you questions that bring it into a deep conversation. I mean, that's how serious I am. It was awesome just to be able to have those conversations. And so I think it's good to get to know each other all the more. And so I'm ready to take another trip, but not this week. So our sermon text was already pre-planned for us because we're doing Timothy chapter 5. And this chapter has a lot to do with how we are to deal with members in the church, but also dealing with families and different issues and different situations. And I think it really brings some clarity to a lot of difficult subjects. One of the main focuses within this book is about widows. And I've always heard that we must always just take care of the widows no matter what, which I'm not saying is a bad idea. But I'll tell you, Paul's telling Timothy some pretty interesting things. And I kind of look at this more or less as like a lot of the government programs that are out there. There's a lot of government programs that take over where churches or families should be helping. And Paul is saying, no. Families step up. Families help one another. That's what family is for. Now remember, in the Israelites' time, there was no such thing as Social Security. What it was is that when the parents got to a certain age, the family stepped in and took care of the parents when they could no longer provide. And so it's an interesting thing. I'm not going to preach this message in a harsh way, obviously, but there's a lot of responsibilities that we need to look to our families and help our families and walk alongside mom, walk alongside of these people that are in need too. So anyways, I'll read slow because I'm tired and I don't want to mess it up too bad. You can remain seated. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 5, reading in Jesus' name. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers. Older women as mothers. Younger women as sisters in all purity. Honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow is left all alone, has set her hope on God, and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his own members of his household, he is denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. Let the widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband and having a reputation for good works, if she has brought up the children and has shown hospitality and has washed the feet of the saints and has cared for the afflicted and devoted herself to every good work, but refuse to enroll younger widows when their passions draw them away from Christ and they desire to marry and incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from household to household, not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So, I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their household, and give the adversary no occasion for the slander. I guess they'd be busy, hey? They want to have an opportunity to do this stuff. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not burden so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it is treads out the grain. And a laborer deserves his wages. Do not admit a charge against an elder except it be evidenced by two or three witnesses. For as for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. In presence of God and of Christ Jesus and the elect of angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judge, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that cannot remain hidden. Amen. I think we need to pray about this one. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we often hear things that we don't care for because it doesn't blend well with our thought process. But Paul was teaching Timothy how to lead a church in healthiness. So Father, we ask that you would also teach today, that you would speak to us, and that you would allow your word to sanctify us, that it would set us apart, that we could be open to hear, but also be open to learn. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is the only truth. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I think we hear, I can't speak for you, so I'll speak about myself. I hear a lot of things in here that kind of make me want to pull back a little bit. Paul is teaching Timothy in starting a new church in a new area or continuing on a church that they've built. And really what he's doing is he's encouraging people to grow. We live in a culture now that's a little bit different. Sunday school, I'll have a picture up here maybe next week or whatever. At Sunday school, I'll be honest, I wasn't real prepared. But I just let the Spirit speak, and I had a picture. Mona took an awesome picture of me in the streets of Mexico because we were able to go over in the tourist side, and you can walk across the bridge. It's very heavily protected. The other thing you have to consider, some of us adults could have probably gone over. It wasn't recommended at all. There was a lot of stuff going on in Reynosa where we served. Duffy felt we could, and then the next day there were shootings and stuff, and she said no. But you got to remember, we have 16-year-olds with us. We are responsible for these individuals, so we can't bring them everywhere, so we didn't want to cause a controversy in the group, so we decided to all hold back for sure. But the point is, there's a safe place that you can go that is heavily guarded. And I'm going to be blunt. The cartel has a lot to do with the area, and they want the American money, so they're not going to cause trouble in that area. So we were able to walk across, and it was kind of green flag, like on a beach day, that you could go. And it's only about 3 blocks. You can't go outside of that. You go out beyond that. Deb and I were going for a little walk together and looking at stuff. As soon as you get past that 3 blocks, it changes. The whole culture changes. Everything is dead silent. It's like you realize you're in a place you shouldn't be. I said, Deb, let's turn around. So we went back. But there's a picture that I had Elsa put up on the screen today, and it was me negotiating. What do you think? That girl is about six. She's about 6 years old, standing about this tall. I'm an American. I'm, you know, tall and probably boisterous, and I got energy. And she comes up, and she's trying to sell me something. This is how she makes her living. She's 6 years old. And she taps me, and she asks if I wanted to buy a little rubber duck or something. And Steve and Mona, Steve's got to get another job again because Mona bought everything down there. She's got a soft heart. God bless her. First thing she got was a back scratcher. But see, it's big and long. You can't hide it. So that was a key to everybody else that was, she was walking around that she will buy. They saw it as a flag. But anyways, so this young girl comes up to me, and I'm telling you this for a reason. But she comes up to me, and she's trying to sell this thing. And I'm talking with her, and I'm going through the whole process. I'm negotiating. She would not back down. She wanted $4. Then she went to, I said two. She went to three. I didn't even care about the product. I wanted to see how bold she would be, you know. And so I was speaking with her for a long time, and she would not come past $3. She was staying at $3. And so really, I loved the confidence that she had. I loved that though she's only 6 years old, though I was a big, tall American, she did not back down. She was not rude. She kept smiling, and she just kept saying, $3. $3. She wouldn't move. Finally, I just took the money, put it on there, and told her, I don't really want your product. You can. And she was happy. She went away. And so really what I think this is a cultural thing. She's used to this. And this is what Paul is trying to say. This is a different culture. We can look at the scripture, and we can say, well, why'd Pastor preach that today? But the fact of it is, it was very cultural in his time for people to take advantage of people. And Paul is trying to teach Timothy that if you're going to lead this congregation, you've got to have some guidelines. You've got to have some rules. And so this is what he's walking us through, though it's uncomfortable. We need to stand firm. I was probably uncomfortable to the young girl, but she stood firm. She didn't move. Because she knew what she wanted. And so Paul says very plainly that you're entering into this culture. Timothy, the first thing you have to understand, and he uses a different Greek word here for rebuke. Because in Titus, he actually encourages Titus that there are people you need to rebuke. But this word that he uses more or less means don't lambaste them. Talk to them. So he says, do not beat up or scream at or push away elders. In other words, don't rebuke an older man. Encourage him. This is our goal as believers in Jesus Christ, that we don't have to have it our own way all the time and just say, you're all wet, you're all wrong. But actually say, have you considered it this way? Correction can come, but there's a way to apply that correction. And that's more what he's saying here in this rebuke. Do not rebuke an older man. Have respect. Have reverence. Understand that God has brought this man along a path. And yes, there may be correction that has to be had. In Titus, he uses a different Greek word for the rebuke, more or less of bring correction. Bring correction. But don't chastise. Because when we start chastising people, the first thing we do is we shut down. The other person will shut down. They won't listen anymore. So he says, don't rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would what? A father. Sometimes we think dad doesn't know anything. Well, I'll tell you what. You're 18 and dad is 50. I guarantee you dad's had more experience. It doesn't mean dad is right every time. But listen to him. Take his correction. But as an 18-year-old, if dad is all wet on a subject, try to reach him sensibly. I think one thing that happens in our nation nowadays is that when we don't agree with somebody, we just say, well, they're dumb, and we walk away. Well, that doesn't solve anything either. That little girl could have thought, he's dumb. I'm not taking less. But she didn't walk away. She persisted because, you know what? Her family's livelihood depended upon it. There was 5-6-year-old kids everywhere trying to sell their wares. I was in one store, I couldn't believe it. This little girl walked up to me. I was at the counter, and they're not really supposed to go in the stores, the street vendors. But she was so darn cute. She came up to me. She was probably 5. Were you there for that one with the flower? She was tiny. And she poked me in the butt. And I looked, and there's this little girl there. Flower? $1. And I just was like, I love the boldness, but yet nothing was mean. Nothing was harsh. It was compassionate. And even the adults, you know, they would be trying to sell their wares, and I'd just say, no, gracias, no, gracias. And they, 90% of them, okay. And so you can actually stand up for something without being rude, being hateful. And this is what he's saying. When you encounter an elder that needs some correction, be kind. Encourage them. Speak with them as you would someone who you love. Someone that you love. And he says, and also when you're talking to younger individuals, you know, speak to them as a brother. And last night was just such an eye-opening experience. I had one of the boys sitting up front talking with me all the way for quite a few hours. And it was the first time, and I'm not trying to be belittling, I love the guy, I know the guy, but I was so encouraged to see him as a brother, that we could talk about subjects, we could talk about, you know, have a conversation about stuff. But how often do we take the time to literally get to know each other? That's how a church grows. That's how a church, if we could say it this way, grows in a positive direction. Speak to each other with love and encouragement. And don't be offended at everything. The other side of the coin is we're offended at everything. If someone says something to me, you know, we're offended by it. It's like, if you ask a question, we're answering you. We're trying to do the best we can. Don't be offended because you don't like the answer. That little girl didn't say, well, you're a jerk and walk away. She smiled and persisted. So this is what he's saying. You are a family. Love one another. Encourage one another. Talk to each other. And speak to the older women as mothers. And I say, in healthy relationships, in a good home, we have great relationships with our mother. My mom, there's times, my brother Lance will agree, she was a piece of work. So was I. But I love her. And I understand why she has some baggage. I understand why there's scars. I understand that. So I love her, though, and so I work through these things. And she loves me, so therefore she works through these things. He's saying, look at the body around you differently. Look at your mothers. Look at your brothers. Look at your fathers. See each other for who they are. And then he goes, and also the younger women. And I think this is extremely important for all of us guys. I really do. To see the younger women as sisters in purity. Not an object, not a joke, not lewd, but as a sister. And sometimes sisters do things to irritate us. Sometimes sisters do things we don't think they should do. But we love them. We encourage them. We speak with them. I got to know Mel as a sister. I've worked with her at Lutty. I've worked with her through camps. But to sit and have a conversation now, I can say, I have a sister in Christ that I love. These are things that Paul is trying to get Timothy to do. Build relationship within the community of Christ. Stop thinking only of yourself and look at it from the other side. That goes on both sides, from the old man to Timothy, from Timothy to the old man. And so there's a lot of people that will throw scripture at you or throw a position at you or throw something. Well, what about your place? What about as a believer? This is what Paul is trying to get Timothy to build relationships, come together. And then he goes down this next step, which is difficult for us. Honor the widows. And he has a claim here. Who are truly widows? What Paul is saying, he acknowledges the loss of a husband or of a wife. Absolutely. He acknowledges that. And that is sad. Nobody ever wants to go through that. It'll happen, I think, to almost every one of us, some way or shape or form. My wife says, I have to go before her. No. The other way. She has to go before me. I say she has to go after me. In other words, no one wants to lose their spouse. No one wants to be in that place. But we're not alone. I know that, and I trust this very strongly. And this is what Paul's trying to say to Timothy. If they have family, give them the opportunity to step up and take care of them. Because this is how God designed it. That's all he's saying. He's not saying, well, now ignore people. But if I passed away, I have full confidence that my children will come alongside of Judith and help her, walk her through, and be there as she needs. My mother is alone. I try to reach out to her as often as I can. I'm not good at it, but I made a commitment every single week, and I've done it now for a year to reach out to her. That takes effort. I know I'm bragging about myself in some stupid way, but this is what Paul is encouraging us to do. Don't forget your mom and dad. Don't forget about the widow. Don't forget about the widower. But what if they don't have children? That's when we really need to be there. Now, if the family, he'll get into that, if they don't come alongside the widow, the widower, and they don't do anything about it, then they've walked away from faith. We don't like those words. Then I think that's where the church really steps in and takes over. Absolutely. God, Paul's not saying, well, it's their fault they raise their kids and they're dumb kids. Well, they're done. No, that's where you come. But offer the opportunity. If I die tomorrow, I know you people would rally around my wife. But I'll call you to the carpet. Don't let my children get lazy. Don't do everything for them that the children can't. Because that's what we do with a lot of welfare programs in this country. There's a lot of great programs, but sometimes we can enable. And I think that's how we have to look at this text. Instead of getting angry at it, we have to look at it. He says, who is truly a widow? Honor the widows who are truly widows. But if the widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness in their own household to make some return to their parents. In other words, the parents have invested in them. That's one of the things that I think is so amazing. God has laid that in my heart years ago. My mom feels like many times she let us down. I'm just being open and raw. But my mom did so many things for me as a child, even in the difficult situation she might have been in. And not every parent has that ability, even through difficult situations, to do that. But he's saying, let the children come in and step alongside of the parents and help them. I guess what he's saying really is, there might be a time in our life where we'll have to take care of physical needs of the parent. But didn't they take care of our physical needs when we were young? That's all Paul's saying. Because we can become complacent as individuals. I can say, well, the church will take care of them. I check with my brother and say, is there anything mom needs? We'll get it for her. And I have two brothers on the East Coast, and there's two here, up here. And this is what Paul's saying. Don't forget them. Let these children have an opportunity. And that's really, it's not as harsh as we think it is. I know there's many of you that have grandchildren. And I know many of you love your grandchildren immensely. But isn't it awesome when they have the opportunity? They may not live around you, but when they have the opportunity, or your sons or your daughters, to help you, it's such a blessing. As simple as shoveling a walkway. As simple as shoveling a deck off to see your children or your grandchildren come over. And then you make coffee or tea or cocoa with them and you sit and talk with them. That's a blessing. We did a roof for an elder in our congregation not long ago, and I'm not bragging about anything. I'm a goofball when it comes to this stuff, but I'm going to say, first thing I did is I invited the children and the grandchildren, and they were there because it's their opportunity too. That's all he's saying. He's not saying, ignore these people and maybe they didn't live right. No, he's saying, allow the opportunity to come forward that this could be done. So if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents for this pleasing in the sight of God, to be thankful for what you have received. So who is truly a widow is left alone. Those are the first that we have to focus on. Maybe they don't have any children. Maybe their children have moved away because of business or because of life, and now the parents are here. Those are the ones that we need to reach to first. It doesn't mean that we don't ever do anything else. Set her hope on God and continuing in prayers and supplications. In other words, you know, remember to keep that relationship as a widow open with God the Father, to pray, to speak, to ask. He will be the provider. He says, but if an individual is self-indulgent, only seeking for their own way, well, I want this and I want this and I want that, that's not the way to live. She's basically not living a true life. And then he uses a harsh term here. She who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. That's not living. You're missing out. Even as the widower, the individual that's going through this, they're missing out when they don't allow God to provide and open these doors for them and to see what it's for, what the purpose is, to encourage, to strengthen. And then he goes farther in, and I'm already running out of way time, so I'm not going to go verse by verse on this because I can. We're 19 minutes in, and I have only talked about the widow. But the fact of it is, I think what it's interesting, he says, and there's places. If the widow is quite young, let her find another mate, a Christian mate. Remember, in the biblical times, if they didn't have any children, it was mandatory that the next brother would take the wife. We don't live in those times anymore. We're not being into that. But it was an encouragement because in the time of the scripture, the woman, and I'm not trying to... You got to take it from Scripture. She had no place if she didn't have a husband and if she didn't have children because she would lean on her next boy, her oldest boy. That's where her identity would come from. Paul is actually trying to help the widows. He's trying to help them and encourage them. And so he says, if she's young, let her go ahead and get married. Let her bear children. Let her have that lineage that she can have. And the reason he says a husband of one wife, the wife of one husband, is because the old rule established that if she did not bear children, that she would go to the next brother, keeping that family line going. But if she has children, it's not mandatory for her to get married because the oldest boy, my brother Bob, would have to take care of my mom. That's how it was in their custom. He's not belittling anybody. He's actually all calling each and every one of us to service in the body of Christ, to serve not only the physical family, but the church family. That's what he puts out there. And so it's kind of interesting. And then he says, and if there is a widow that we need to take care of, let them be involved. He actually uses the word enroll in the ESV. Let them be involved. That it is a blessing for them to be involved in the congregation. That it's a blessing for them to be involved in the work of the church. That gives purpose. That's one thing I have a hard time with a lot of the social programs that we have in this world that enable people. I'm not saying we shouldn't help. But how do they know who they are? How do they know the gifts that they have? How do people that don't, you know, are always provided for within the congregation but don't get involved, how do they know their gift in the congregation? that they could be a blessing to the whole body. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, God has established an order because we all have a value in the body of Christ, that we all have gifts and abilities. So if she's older, if she truly is a widow, let her be enrolled in prayer, in help, in hands, whatever it may be, because God has called them to that position. And there are so many wonderful people that have done that. And that's how God planned the whole process. He says, and if they don't go into that, if they don't get involved, oftentimes they're bored. And we know the old statement, right? Idle time is the devil's workshop, is what we say as people. Next thing you know, we're busybodies. We're starting to look into other things. And that's one thing I think that is a problem with our world right now, our nation. We have first world problems. We do. And we are so spoiled that we have time to try to figure out who we are, what gender we are, whatever it may be, because we're not out there actually doing things, working hard. Sorry, if you don't like it, prove me wrong. How many are still living in basements, and how many are still living in mom and dad's house? I mean, this is what he's trying to say. And it doesn't mean because you live in mom and dad's house that you're a bad person. You be productive. That's what he's talking about. I saw the smiles right away. You know, if my son needed a place to live, I've offered it to him while he's going to college, come back. And he's like, I'm not living in your house. But the fact of it is, what he's saying here is, if we're not actively productive in the body of Christ, and I'll even add earthly sense in this world, what are we doing? We're missing out on the opportunities that God has given us, the abilities, the gifts, the qualities. It's just amazing. I have a sister I love very much in this congregation, and Bible study needed new leadership. I did not realize what a powerful leader this sister would be, and she has a wonderful Bible study going. The previous lady was a wonderful leader also, but she had done it for so many years. But if that one leader didn't step aside, how would we know the new leader could do so well? This is what he's talking about. So more or less, this is the whole aspect of it. Now you got me giggling over here. But the fact of it is, you know, he's just saying, be productive, be involved, have a care for people. If you really took this text, it's about relationships. And I've tried to encourage my children very straightforward. Life is about relationship. It's not about politics. It's not about all those other things. That all is in there. But it's about relationships. The body of Christ is no different. Our life is about a relationship, first and foremost, with God our Father through Christ Jesus. And as that relationship is encouraged and grows, then we can have relationships with one another and there's those outside. We say sometimes that we shouldn't be just coming to church because of relationships. No, but it sure helps. Because when we have relationships, we see each other as Christians, as brothers and sisters. We know the victories. We know the struggles. We know all of these things because we're tied together. There's another part of Scripture, and maybe we should count it. Maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. It says we're all members of the same body. And when one member hurts, it says the whole body hurts. But if we amputate the foot, how will we know? And should the whole body be an eye? Or the whole body be an ear? Embrace in reality where God has placed you, but grow in the place where he's given you. This is what he's saying. If you're a young widow, seek for marriage, that you would have a provision. But if you are an older widow, it doesn't mean that you don't have a place. Continue to grow. And this obviously goes down the road of singleness. I have a very good friend that I went on a mission trip with. And he's older than me. He just turned 70. Do you know how many times people say he should, oh, here's a woman for you. Here's a woman for you. It actually almost, I'm not even him, and it might get nauseating. Paul says God might call some of us to singleness. But we still have a purpose, a huge purpose. And I would say that is a flaw of the Apostolic Lutheran Church of America. We have a tendency to think people don't belong till they're married, or they can't be active till they're married. That's changing, and thanks be to God. Because we all have purpose in Christ Jesus. We're all members of the body. And I've talked with him a little bit about that, and it's just interesting. I've never thought about it till I actually spend time with him. And I hear everybody say stuff. And I'm just as guilty. And I'm going to make a commitment to stop. I'm not saying I'm going to stop all jokes, but I'll stop saying it. So anyways, and this is really what he's saying here. And if you have this problem, he says basically, you know, that not too much time and you start becoming gossipy, he said it really causes big issues. It really does. And so anyways, and then he lastly goes into, he says, elders that rule well, he says the body will do well. And that's mainly what he talks about. And he talks about those that really truly minister, the body will get better and better. He says, and don't withhold from them. Understand that even Scripture, and it's in red letter in Timothy, which is interesting because these are the words of Jesus. He quotes them. He says, the laborer deserves his wages. You know, there are those that serve full time, mission fields, wherever it may be. And that really has opened my mind up to realize, no, they are worthy to have a provision so that they can focus at the task at hand. He says, be fair to everybody. It's about relationships. He says, and don't just listen to people bringing accusation against somebody unless there's a witness to it. He's not saying we shouldn't look into things. He's not saying we shouldn't hear the charge. What he's saying is don't act rashly in one situation. You know? So that's kind of more or less where he goes with that. And so he says, make sure there's one or two witnesses. He says, and then this could be brought really to the presence of God. And then he'll go back to his correction in the church. Too many times someone does something to us, we just get mad at them and walk away. We can find it in other parts of Scripture where he talks about the church order for discipline. We never see that. I don't know if I've seen it once here. I brought it, and it worked out well. But I'm saying, even as a pastor, I probably fail in this area. Maybe that's something we need to study more. Maybe that's something we need to go. When something is an offense, something is wrong, maybe we should bring it first and foremost to the person. If they won't hear you, then a witness. And then if they don't hear you, then maybe even another witness. And if then they don't hear you, to the body. Boy, that's very uncomfortable, isn't it? Very uncomfortable. A lot of this is uncomfortable. Now I'm speaking to you parents, you grandparents, you adults. Everything you did for your children raising them, was it always comfortable? No. We're a family. We go through the good and the bad and the difficult. But we always go through it all to bring people to truth. And that's what Paul is trying to say. Timothy, you're in charge of a lot of things here. Don't let earlier chapter, youth, get in your way, but also don't override elders with rudeness. There's a place for each and every one of us. So next week we'll go to chapter 6. And we didn't go through verse by verse, but we're already over our time. And so we'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we just praise and we thank you. Even though this is more of a teaching lesson, and I personally am struggling with it, but I need to learn to teach also. Father, we ask that you would just guide, lead, and direct as we think about this week. What are our purposes? What is our relationships in our family? How can we help our mothers, our fathers? How can we help and encourage our children? Father, how do we look at the women of our churches? Do we see them as sisters in purity? We ask that you would guide, lead, and direct our hearts, our thoughts, our minds, and allow your spirit to take presence, to encourage us to see. Father, we ask that you also would just continue to allow us to grow in your word, because, Father, oftentimes we often speak about the proclamation of the gospel, which is absolutely true. All of this brings us to Christ Jesus. But, Father, we also need to know that all of your scripture is given for reproof and for encouragement. So allow us to speak it all. Father, we ask that you be with us in the upcoming week. Give us guidance. Give us the ability to seek you in all that we do. And allow us, Father, by the presence of your Spirit, to bring a smile upon someone's face. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.